that one chapter, the last sister's prayer, that if you are going to be a tree of righteousness, and this is what we are to be called, trees of righteousness. You know, an apple tree grows apples. It's a tree of apples. It's an apple tree. So you're going to grow righteousness. There may one think. I want to know whether righteousness is a growing thing to you. Now, if you are righteous, it is not God's intention that you should be mournful in the opening of the verse, ugly as opposed to beautiful, and miserable as opposed to joyous. That a righteous person should not be always mourning, always ugly, always sitting in ashes, and always miserable, with no praises, and always heavy instead of light. God intends you to be beautiful. Righteousness is a beautiful thing. And beloved, God does not intend to put beauty upon an unrighteous foundation. God intends you to be joyful. Joyful. And God doesn't intend to put joy upon a basis and root of unrighteousness either. And God doesn't intend either to put lightness of spirit upon a foundation of unrighteousness. Wonderful that you should be exactly what God wants you to be. All these things then, beloved, go with righteousness. And if you have been made a righteous person through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his grace has really reached you, this is what you should be. And if you go back up into verse 2, you should be a person that's comforted. Comforted. You see, it all goes together. If you look in verse 3, in the middle of the verse, you've got oil of joy. Well, you know that oil goes with the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who comforts us. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful that joy should be likened to oil, isn't it? You know, running all over you. That's what oil does. Running all over you. What a glorious thing to have joy like that. Free flowing, running joy. A great inner laughter of the soul that goes with a lightness of spirit. Something that can't be touched, can't be weighted down by the devil. Oh, beloved, one of the things that this world wants to see is a real, truly gay, laughing, joyous spirit. And people that are like that. That's why they have to keep on getting up comedy shows and burlesques and this, that and the other. They all have to pay fabulous prices to go and get a bit tickled out of their misery. That's right. Oh, yes, they have to do it. But we, beloved, we've got our own spring of joy inside.
Glory.
It's a great, flowing, gay life, this life in Christ.
Hallelujah.
It is. It's a gay, joyous thing.
Hallelujah.
It really is, beloved. And it keeps growing on you, you see. It keeps growing on you. I know, I don't think I'm the oldest person in the room, but I'm getting on a bit. And I know the further you go, the more wonderful it all becomes, beloved. You see, Jesus Christ, first of all, we are told in the first verse, he was anointed. We know that it's the Lord Jesus because he took these words in Luke 4 at the beginning of his ministry. He was anointed to do this. And beloved, he's done it. That's it. You see, it's got to be shown that it's done. And our brother brought out the remark, thank you, Lord, for closing the book at the right place. But you know, if he'd have gone on reading it, it would still have been right. Because the day of vengeance of our God was in the heart of Jesus when he hung on the cross. That's right. And when the Holy Ghost came, he came to make all God's enemies his footstool, and Jesus is seated at the right hand. You can read this in Acts chapter 2. Until all his enemies be made his footstool. And beloved, this is a tremendous thing. And if there's something in you that's preventing you enjoying this great life of Christ, Jesus Christ has constituted it his personal enemy, and he'll deal with it. He's not prepared to let you be miserable and sit about in ashes, scraping yourself with a potsherd. Oh, my complaint and my bitterness. Nay, beloved. That's not what Jesus Christ was anointed for. He is the honourable disperser of all such things. He's come to make you rejoice and to make you beautiful. Now, this has little to do with outward form. If it had, I couldn't lay any claim to it. But beauty has to do with that inward thing of the Spirit. Amen. Are you beautiful inside? Really beautiful. Inside. Glory. Beauty has to be a growing thing. You should become more and more beautiful as the days go by. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? Are you? Well, beloved, when the Lord does this thing in us, and he does, as we've said, he's anointed to do it. It's also glorious. You don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ has failed, do you? You believe it's true. That he's anointed to do this wonderful thing. Look at it. Comfort the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted. That's a marvelous thing. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Praise God. Free, utterly free. Amen. And you know what happens when prison doors are open, don't you? People come out. That's right. I know, they opened one for me once. I came out. First they unlocked the cell, and then they unlocked the open door, the great gateway, and out in Maidstone Jail, and I came out. Wonderful. And you know, when I came out, I could have wept. I could have wept. I drove through the countryside, and when I got into prison, everything was stark and cold and bare. When I came out, it was springtime. And it was glorious outside. I know what it's like to come out of prison. Perhaps you don't. I mean, physically and spiritually, thank God. It was a tremendous thing, beloved, to be free, utterly free. Are you like that inside? Have you come out? Eh? If you're shut away in prison, nobody's really seen you. Not really. Only your warder. That's right. They don't have beauty shows in prison, or they used not to when I was there. Come out and be beautiful. Nobody can be their best in a prison cell, I can assure you. There are no beauty aids in prison cells. You come out and you're beautiful. It's glorious. Ashes all gone. Amen. And the Lord makes you wonderful. Praise God. Beautiful, joyous, free. Everything that God wants you to be. And because you're rooted there, beloved, well, they never do grow. They don't grow trees in prison cells. They don't. You've got to be out in the open, rooted, fixed, growing, glory. The day of vengeance is in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. That fact that it hasn't broken on the world yet, when he's coming back to fulfill the whole thing in his prophetic office and in his glorious kingly character. But it's there. Praise God. And if the devil dares touch a hair of your head, that's right. If the devil dares encroach on you,
Jesus.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
That'll make your heart rest. That'll make your heart rest. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Take this wonderful word. He that toucheth you, touches the apple of my eye.
Have
you ever tried to touch the apple of your eye? Go on, have a go at it. Do you know what happens when anybody touches the apple of their eye? An immediate reaction. You have a go and see. And the Lord intends this, beloved. It's all on this great theme of rest into which the Lord has reintroduced us again tonight. It seems to be a recurring theme. Praise God. That every heart should know the completeness of this redemption in Jesus Christ. The utter fullness of it, beloved. You must come to see that your salvation is not a hodgepodge of hastily thought up recipes for misery and Lord, keep coming in the nick of time, you know, like some preachers would have us believe, and he just pops in and saves you, and saves you there, and he smooths the moment. Yes! Now, don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? This is a glorious introduction into the tranquil life of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful residing in the greatness of God. It's a coming to an understanding within you of what the Lord had planned and provided before the foundation of the world. It's not a collecting together of scripture texts which talk about being saved by the skin of your teeth. You know that's a scriptural text, don't you? That's in Job, you'll find that. And it's not this that just in the nick of time or anything like that. It's not like that. Job never wrote any epistles to the churches. He simply wrote, it was a dirge. It's true, all right. But that's not a message to the church. But to understand it. Paul never wrote things like that. He did say he was shipwrecked, he was in the deep. Down the night he was in the deep, he said, and in storms and barrels. And when everybody, there was no sort of nick of time, the angel came and said, "It's all right, Paul." He said, "You're going to have all this lot. You're going to be cast on a certain island. Go to sleep. It's all right, Paul." So he said, then he stood up and said, "God, whose I am and whose I serve, sent his angel. His angel stood by me this night." You see, this is the way. He wasn't saved in the nick of time. Oh, you say Peter was? Yeah, well, then, of course, he wasn't in the church then. He hadn't been built in then. He hadn't received the Spirit.
No.
Don't you understand?
No.
So also, keep reading it through your Bible. Whatever you do, don't stop in the Old Testament. Don't stop in the Gospels. Go right on and see the conclusion. You see, and know what God is after. Beloved, listen to this. The Lord shall shortly bruise Satan under your feet.
Yes.
How about that? Yes. Didn't say snatch you out of his jaws just in time. Just bruise him under your feet. That's what he says. You see that? It's marvellous, isn't it?
Yes.
Understand the truth, beloved. It's the truth that sets you free. And when you're free with a great joyous song. You can pay attention, beloved, to getting on with the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry is a repetition of this very truth. And what was true of the Lord Jesus Christ being true also of Isaiah? Well, let's see. It's true of us also. We'll check this. Let's go to 1 Peter. It's also lovely, this book. It's also full and true and wonderful. 1 Peter 1. You are, let's start in verse 8 of the first chapter. Whom, Jesus Christ, you see the last two words of verse 7. Whom, having not seen, you love. I always like to start there. Whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now listen, beloved. I want you to notice that this is not an exhortation. No, you people ought to be rejoicing instead of being down. Victory, 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 you see. That's not what he said. He's telling them the truth. When they read that, that's absolutely right. We are too. See? He's telling them the truth. You are rejoicing, he says. Now either Peter was a liar or else he wasn't. See? They were rejoicing. In whom, he says, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Got that? Now I want to tell you, you know you've got glory when you've got something unspeakable. And you're not going to know what glory is. Unspeakable, full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Of which salvation, verse 10, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, but not unto themselves. Note the emphasis. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, and so on and so on and so on. There it is. The Isaiah didn't minister that to himself, you see. He's one of the prophets. He ministered that to us. That's what the New Testament says. Isaiah ministered Isaiah 61 and so on to us. Not to themselves. What a tremendous thing. Isn't this a glorious truth to realize that was ministered to you? Praise God. You're in it then, aren't you? It's to you, you see. Here's your ministry. Here's your ministry. Are you in line with this ministry? Anointed to preach glad tidings. Amen. Glad tidings, isn't it? When you can say, come on, out of your prison house. Come on, stop that mourning. Come on. Let Jesus bind your broken heart. Come on, be free. What a blessed ministry this is, beloved. He's not a minister trying to keep your nose above water or keep your feet on the right track or staggering from one terrible blow to another terrible blow from Satan or anything like that. It's walking on serenely in that untouchable position, beloved, with God, knowing that. Do you believe you're in an untouchable position? I thought when our sister prayed that wonderful prayer from Moses, underneath are the everlasting arms. Do you know what immediately came to my mind? None can pluck them out of my hand. Glory. None can pluck them out of my hand. What a wonderful thing this is. Glory. Now don't let this get in your mind as twisted to thinking, well, Lord, I believe that none can pluck me out of your hand finally. That is, believing in the eternal security of the saints. That's right. It's quite right. But if you're not careful, you'll get schizophrenic about this and think, oh, but the devil's plucked all my joy away. He's plucked all my peace away. He's plucked all this away. He's a very good plucker, as though we're chickens or something. Getting ready for Christmas. But it's nothing like that, beloved. Don't divorce your spirit from your soul and your body in your thinking. You are loved, loved, loved. And I want to tell you this, that these great qualities of soul, joy is a quality of spirit. Peace is a quality of soul and spirit. Peace isn't something you're given in a little parcel tied up with blue ribbon on your birthday. You understand it. It's a quality of life. All these things. Well, if they're plucked away, there, beloved, you and I have got to be in a place where these things cannot be plucked away from us. We've got to be there. It's unthinkable that a defeated devil who suffered such humiliating defeats, the devil has suffered. His original revolt in heaven was crushed. He was cast out. Jesus saw him fall. He said, I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven. All his carefully planned revolt and all his were all broken up. Why, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. This devil, it would do you good to take your Bibles and go through to see. He was absolutely licked by Moses, absolutely beaten. Up and hill and down dale. He never had a leg to stand on. All his representatives on earth were drowned in the Red Sea. It's right. That's right. When they were after God's people. Absolutely. Don't you see? Pharaoh represented Satan on earth and he was absolutely humiliated. And you know what the Bible says? For this purpose I raised old Pharaoh up. Don't you see what God's doing? Hey, you could go through this time after time after time. You can see this. Why, you God? Who was it brought forth butter on a lordly dish? Come on. That's right. Well, a woman. Absolutely licked Satan uphill and down dale. That's right. Don't you see? If you see this, instead of getting yourself all gloomed up, and take Calvary, for instance, just take Calvary, where Satan was absolutely destroyed in his dominion over God's flesh. That's us. We're God's flesh. Do you believe you're God's flesh? Well, you're either gods or the devils. We belong to him.
That's right.
And the devil was defeated, beloved. And you and I must see this very, very clearly. This miasma, this cloud, this web of lies, this great talk up, this mass propaganda machinery that's being built up, shouting out everything for the devil. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, the devil is a defeated enemy. That's right. He knows he is. That's right. And we're free of him. Glory. And we are not to have these things removed from our lives by him in any degree. Nothing. Of what this world can do, or what men and women inspired by Satan can do, can really touch this. The Lord wants you to see this. Walk in it. And understand it. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I know that in this great occasion, when the great shipwreck took place, I'm quoting from Acts now, when the angel of the Lord came and said to Paul, said, I've given you everybody that's in the boat. They all belong to you. So Paul promptly claimed them all. That's right. They always said, what do you mean? Well, the soldiers were going to sort of get out, save their skins. They started to let down boats under to escape, and Paul said, stop that. They can't. The shipmen were going to do this, you see. So they all stayed on the boat, and they all reached shore. Now, granted, some got on bits of board, and the boat was smashed up, but they were all right. They only got wet. Some might have got a bit frightened, but they needn't have been frightened. You never need be frightened where the promises of God are. I suppose some were scared out of their wits. You were not told that Paul had the privilege that Elijah had of being taken over by a whirlwind and deposited. He might have scrambled in with his beard wrapped round a plank. You don't know how he got in. But what does that matter? What does that matter? It's right. It might have done. You don't know. You mustn't think that God sent the Queen Mary or Queen Cutie or whatever to take him. God didn't do it. He might have had to have swum for his life. But that didn't matter. You see, the thing is, beloved, we play up the details to some tune and cry about symptoms and details and make a fuss when nothing of these matter.
Yes.
At all. The thing that matters, beloved, is that you are the master of Satan.
Yes.
And you are the children of the Lord. And you are, as God wants you to see, his son. And if you are trees of righteousness, beloved, then you're there. And you're going to be developed in beauty and joy. You're going to be developed in praise. And one of these days you're going to learn how to praise God for the things you normally have grumbled about. And one of these days, you're all going to learn to laugh about the things that once you cried about.
Amen.
That's right. And one of these days, you're going to learn to be wholehearted about the things you used to get brokenhearted about, and brokenhearted about the things as you used to remain quite intact. That's right. We're all going to be taught the ways of the Spirit. You see? And that's what he's come for. And I want to tell you this, beloved, that there's a lot of talk in these days about ministries and gifts. But I want to tell you, you'll have no ministry at all except the ministry that is running parallel with the stream of your life. You understand that? You will not be able finally to minister anything that isn't consistent with the way you're living. You understand that? Yes, praise God. But don't you understand that all these ministries are expressions of life, the life of Jesus? That's right. It's got to be lived. And that's a very, very wonderful thing. And so, the thing to do, beloved, is to learn how to be beautiful when everything is ugly. That's right. And to get rid of all the ashes. All the ashes. The ashes represent something that's burned out, destroyed, that used to be, and now it's gone. You see? Isn't it a wonderful thing when all the ashes are gone? And people that sit in ashes are people that are mourning and groaning the things that were once but are not now. They're people of memory. They're never people of much power. So the Lord removes these things and He gives us everything that's wonderful. Amen. He gives us Himself. He gives us His own anointing. He gives us His own precious ministry. Isaiah ministered this to my heart. I believe it. Do you? Do you believe it? Well, what a lot of joy spreaders we're going to be then. That doesn't mean say we're going to be cracking jokes all day long or something like that to make people laugh. It does mean, beloved, that people to understand your joy in the long run have got to be able to stand beside you in circumstances and situations and catch the infectious gaiety of your spirit that can't be repressed. That's what it means in the end. It means to say, beloved, that you'll be like the plank that brings the poor soul home. It means to say that you'll be there in the shipwreck, in the storm, in the circumstances that everybody else is in, and never a grumble. That's right. Oh, when this catches on, when it's reality, when people see you don't go down, where they go down, but you stay up, thou see a hope of salvation. Now the Lord wants to do this. All our enemies are gone. They're dealt with. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get alongside of people. You try it. Where you live, where you work, where you have to move. And try putting over your favorite texts to them. You try it. You try and buttonhole them and preach to them. And then try standing with them in the tragedies of life. And see which reaches the heart first. If they can see that you're up when everybody else is down. If they can see that you've got a light shining in you when everybody else is in darkness, if they can see that, that's when you'll make your big mark. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you've got to live with people, beloved. You've got to reveal to people the thing that's inside. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, glad tidings of the gospel to the poor. A responsible position, beloved. And we're all in this responsible position. Every one of us. You've got to see this. You've got to see it. You do understand, don't you? In the end, beloved, we've all got to be like that great apostle. It won't be in the same circumstances, and none of us would seek to think we were anything like him in one sense. But in another sense, we all have to be like him. That is, God's got to be able to give you everybody that's in the boat. He's got to be able to give you everybody that's in the boat. Praise God. You know, I remember reading when I was a young man something that has never left me. It was in a certain magazine. And it was said of this man that he asked for everybody. He asked God to give him every soul that lived on the Black Down Hills. You know where the Black Down Hills are? They're not so far from here. And God gave him every soul that lived on the Black Down Hills. Yeah, he asked God for it. And God gave him to him. Praise God. And because God gave them to him, he went out and got them. That's right, isn't it? Hallelujah. Are you in this glorious place then? Where you're free and you're out of the prison house altogether. And you know you are. When you say, well, Lord, if the day of vengeance is in your heart, as I'm anticipating and living in all the glory of New Jerusalem, so I'm living in and anticipating all the wonder of your great victory that's going to be shown in this world in a future age. I'm living in it now. And this is the power of faith, and this is the wonder of grace, that you and I can be in that victory and glory and lordship of Jesus Christ right now. This is the wonder of it all. Amen. This is a marvelous thing, beloved. You're in it then, are you? Amen. If you're not, you can be. We can enter right in, beloved. It's all so free. It's all so wonderful to us. Amen. The trees of righteousness. Glory to his wonderful name. Anointed to do the work of the Lord. The Spirit's on me. Amen. And well, I don't feel him on me. No, well, don't get tied up in that error. I think you've got to feel something. This is where so much has gone wrong in Pentecostal circles. They're always wanting to feel anointed. Feel this and feel the other. And if they don't soon feel like it, they'll make sure something will happen if they do. That's right. It's true. They'll work themselves up into something, beloved. Whereas this precious anointing, it's there. And in that glorious faith, you can go into any situation, beloved, anywhere with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you increasingly, I believe this more and more in my life. You do this, beloved, and you young people that are growing up in this great what thing that God is doing. You believe that God isn't a touchy sort of a person, and that God doesn't sort of come down here and lift off there and all this business. Don't you see, beloved, that in this glorious body of Jesus Christ, it's here to stay. Do you see that? Do you believe that when it says he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, it don't only mean to heal people. It means that that's what he is. He doesn't say, now my power to heal is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Oh, sorry. As it always was. No, he doesn't say that. He says it's Jesus Christ that's the same. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Lord, amen. God. You believe that. You believe that. And you believe that you're a part of him. And you believe you're the same yesterday, today and forever. In these eternal things, you believe it. You believe it. Stand there. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that we're there in every situation, and God grant that the time will come when every one of us will see this so plainly. And that we can walk in every situation just as comfortably as Jesus walked on the sea. Most unlikely thing, but he did. Amen. And you can walk in this wonderful way with God. I do beseech you to come into this position with the Lord. And don't believe in some evanescent thing that's on you now and gone tomorrow. And you've got to pray for it to come back again. And hope to feel it in tomorrow night's meeting. Or in all this business. Oh, beloved. It plays into the hands of human flesh. All that erroneous idea. Yes. Believe in the solidity of God that's come to you. Believe in the utmost reality of the Holy Ghost that's come in you to abide there. You believe it. Glory. Don't think you're a wonderful person. Any more than anybody, than you ought to be wonderful, of course. Everybody's wonderful in the sense that Jesus has bought them. But don't sort of get any big ideas about it. Just walk on simply. And any situation that arises, my beloved brother and sister, you're more than equal to it. Yes. Not because you're you, but because he is him. Amen. That's right. Amen. He is Jesus. And he's in you, and the Holy Ghost is there, and it doesn't matter what situation, you believe it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You believe it. I do. I believe that. Amen. That's when you know you've got your roots down. You're a real tree. You're growing. And you're going on in these great, immovable, unshakable things. Oh, but you say, I'm variable. This happens and that happens and one thing and another. Yes, that's right. But you know, there's a time when children, all children have to be carried. Let me say they're variable. If you remain a child too long, you can be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Well, that's not exactly what the Lord wants you to be. But if you're a lovely little child and Jesus is carrying you around, or Father is, or the Holy Ghost, well, that's all right. You're not being blown about. You're being carried around. The wind blows where it lists. You understand. And the Holy Spirit is carrying you around. Don't be afraid. Hurry up and grow up. Take your meals properly. That's right. Let the Holy Ghost keep you clean. And that's right. And let him, and he'll do this, and you'll find, beloved, that you'll be equal to your situations. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, glory be to the name of the Father. We're all his children. And he's going to do these great works in us. Amen. He's doing them now. Anybody here doesn't believe that God is doing anything in them? Now, nobody dare say that, do they? Glory. praise God. Well, I'll tell you, when you, before you go to bed tonight, say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in me today. I don't say it. My wife and I will pray like this before we go to sleep tonight. This will be about, and if she's so tired, or she goes to bed an hour or two beforehand, but that's very, 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 very irregularly that happens. But we shall say, thank you, Lord. Praise thy name for your love to us today. If you want to know how we pray before we go to sleep, we don't bring a long list of failures. Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for revealing your love to us. This is the way we should pray. That's right, love, isn't it? It's the way we should pray. Tonight. That's right. See, we're there. Got to be there. No, this isn't a boast, beloved. Do you see? This is normal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we're to go on. We shall have our final reading, and we'll find something there to praise the Lord about. On we'll go. See? Yeah. And you're to go on in this way. Well, I don't know why I should be talking to you like this. But anyway, what I have. You're in this great thing. Go on in this great thing. And let the Lord establish everything in your life. And glorify his name in you. Glory. Well, it's fairly early for us.